Welcome to TJ's Radio. Welcome to TJ's R&B Music Lounge. I'm your host, Tanisha, and I am excited that you guys are tuning in on tonight. We have an amazing show lined up for you guys. And this segment of our show, we're going to get ready to hear some amazing music. We also have, you know, exclusive interviews. We have an exclusive interview with none other than Freddie Jackson. He's going to come up later in the show, and he's going to be promoting his new release with us. Also, we always have our segment with Ask Dr. Farmer. Dr. Farmer is a licensed coach and counselor, and we always have you guys to email your questions in and your comments for Dr. Farmer. Dr. Farmer is with the Jaffa Group, and you can email him at james.farmer@att.net. Well, I look forward to having a wonderful time with you guys. I hope you had an amazing, wonderful day, and I want to just be able to help you guys relax, unwind, and just get into the music zone. And it's called All the Way Home. Don't even know what we're fighting for. Damn.
Faces of Success Radio. Your choice, your voice radio. You can log in at www.blogtalkradio.com/Faces of Success Radio or call in and listen to speak to our special guest at 718-664-6324. For your special appearance on our show, call 1-866-458-5523, extension 101. Be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Faces of Success Radio. Your choice, your voice radio.
It's TJ's R&B Music Lounge.
Welcome back to TJ's R&B Music Lounge. I'm your host, Tanisha, and you were listening to Neo, and that was Let Me Love You. Well, it's about that time for us to go ahead and have that segment with Dr. Farmer. We have a segment every week, which is entitled Ask Dr. Farmer. Dr. Farmer, he will give you tools and words of inspiration to help you with certain life situations. So I'm going to go ahead and let Dr. Farmer introduce himself to you guys.
Hello, I'm Dr. Farmer. I'm a developmental coach, licensed psychotherapist, and a professional counselor, and I work in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I have a private practice, and I love doing workshops and seminars, and I'm just excited about being on Tanisha's show because I just get a thrill out of just, you know, sharing different tools that some of you may be able to use. So thank you again, Tanisha, for having me on your show.
Well, you're welcome. And I want the listeners to know you can reach Dr. Farmer at james.farmer@att.net. He's not just, you know, for us here in the DFW area. He is able to be reached with an email and just give him your contact information. He does phone counseling and phone sessions for you guys. And I know he has some amazing discounts going on right now. So if you need to contact Dr. Farmer, it's james.farmer@att.net. So what are we going to be talking about on tonight, Dr. Farmer?
We're going to be talking a little bit about a book of mine that should be coming out in the fall called Building Authentic Self-Esteem. I thought I would make it a two-part series here where I talk about, first of all, kind of the problem, and then next week I'll share a few strategies for building authentic self-esteem. So this is an area of mine that's, well, actually, I've been working in this area quite a long time. Once I found out that I had low self-esteem, I just had to figure out how to build it. And so this is what I want to be sharing to your listeners, because there may be a few of them out there that might be suffering from some of this, and they're not aware of it. So I'm excited about sharing some of my information, and then hopefully in the fall they'll get an opportunity to buy the whole book and just kind of really work with themselves. So.
Okay, well, I'm really excited to see what we're going to be hearing about tonight.
Okay, I'll just start, all right?
Okay.
I thought maybe what I first do is just share how I came into contact with self-esteem. It was not anything I was looking for. I basically knew that I had, you know, we all hear those voices in our head, you know, you can't do this, this isn't going to work out for you. You'll fail if you try this. Nobody likes you. You didn't meet their approval. All those kind of voices I used to just hear in my head back in you know, elementary school, middle school, high school. And I just basically thought that they were just part of what I was hearing, you know. And I never did check with other folks to see if they heard those kind of voices. But I know that as I got older, I wasn't really feeling that great about myself. I wasn't really liking myself as much as I thought I should, or at least when I did a comparison between where I was and where others people seemed to be, I didn't seem to be there. So I grew up, I did most of the things that most kids do. They just basically, you know, go out for sports, they excel at it. You go and get to your career, or at that time I went into college and tried to get a degree in something, and I thought all of that would make me feel good. And along the way, I decided to buy a car, and I got married and had a nice home, had a nice family, a church-going guy. But I still, inside, didn't like myself, and I didn't know what that was about. I started trying to read self-improvement books, hoping to come across something that would tell me what I could do to make this work. And so as time would go, I just couldn't quite put that piece together. You know, I liked myself, but not 100%, not even 60%. But yet I was able to still move forward, and I kept saying, you know, I got a new car. Certainly I should feel good about that. Or I did well in athletics. You know, I'm a jock. I should feel good about that. But I didn't. I didn't. People would cheer me on, but I couldn't cheer my own self on. And so I had an opportunity to happen to run some material that talked about self-esteem. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to go and meet this guy. And I did. I went to meet him, and I said, you know, this self-esteem thing they call it, is it really a problem? He said, yeah, a lot of people have it, don't know it. And I said, well, I don't know whether I have it or not. Can you give me some kind of a profile or test or whatever that would show me whether or not I have this problem? And he did. Don Williams gave me an instrument. It was a very brief instrument. Took me about maybe 15, 20 minutes to fill out. And I gave it to him, and then he went and checked it and analyzed it. And then I said, well, you know, what's there? Can you tell me about my self-esteem? And he kind of looked at me and said, you know, I've never seen anybody had self-esteem this low. And I said, low? How low is it? And at that time, it was a 100-point item test, and he said, you hit 10. And I had to sit down and catch my breath. I said, 10. That didn't have a whole lot of meaning to me, but then again, it did. On a 100-point item test, and I get 10. And I said, well, what can I do to improve this? Because I can't continue like this. I gotta get my self-esteem up. And so I knew I had to get it up, but I didn't know how. Now, I'm sharing something that really happened to me. This is not made up just for this show. This really happened to me, and it's also in the book. And so I went through a two-day workshop, and I still was a little in disbelief that my self-esteem could be so low. And the two-day workshop was going to turn me around. And so I went through, and there was a lot of people in that class. You know, I was surprised with people who had suits and you know, titles and so forth that would be suffering from the same thing that I suffered from. And so we all went through it a little skeptical. And afterwards, there was a follow-along program, which took about 10 weeks. We had to listen to a series of tapes. It was three, at that time they called them audio tapes. CDs weren't really in. There was one little book that we had to read, and then there were some cards that affirmations we had to say for 10 weeks. Every day, twice a day, took about maybe 15 minutes to get through at morning and then at night before you went to bed. And so I went through that, and within about 3 to 4 weeks, I started noticing a major change in my life. And I went on and completed the 10 weeks, and then after that, you know, my self-esteem was up around 100%. So all my friends know how to deal with me because they were so used to dealing with someone who couldn't make eye contact, talked with a very soft voice, always kind of cleared his throat. And now I'm standing, you know, 7 feet tall, looking you directly in the eye and saying exactly what I wanted to say, you know, and meaning what I said. And so that kind of a dramatic effect on me. Now, I'm not trying to sell that program. I'm just trying to tell you my experience with it because we're going to get into something that I've developed as a result. So from there, I decided to hold on to the program. I said, if it's done this in 10 weeks, I'm going to play this for 2 years. And I did. I stayed on that program for 2 years because I didn't ever want to drop as low as I dropped in my self-esteem. It was very, very low. You know, if there's a level below depression, I went there. And so I said, this is never going to happen to me again. Circumstances are never going to beat me down anymore. And so for 2 years, I stayed on a program that was for 10 weeks. And I also changed the voice on that tape, and I read my voice into the audio tape. And so here I was hearing me talk to me or give me affirmations probably the last 8 months before the tape broke. And so at that time, Mr. Williams had left my home state and moved down to Dallas, Texas. And 20 years would go by, and I still use the program. I like the program. I tried to learn as much as I could, but I never would. And so 20 years later, when I ended up in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, I wanted to look up Mr. Williams because I wanted him to see what this program had done for me. And so I knocked on his door, and he came to the door, and he remembered me. You know, and we came in, and we sat down 9 o'clock in the morning. His wife was leaving out to go to work. When she came back at 5, we were still in the same chairs in the kitchen talking because he couldn't believe that I was the same guy that walked in that had such low self-esteem, and now, you know, I was just, you know, just at 100% and consistently there. Now, I share that because I thought I was okay, you know, with 2 graduate degrees, car, job, family. My wife was a teacher. I had all of it. I had the American dream. So why would I be walking around with low self-esteem? And so that's when I decided to make it a part of one of my specialty areas that I wanted to look at. And they don't have that program anymore. It's called the Barksdale Self-Esteem Program. But it literally saved my life. And as a result, I think just people that sell it here and there over the online and so forth, but to go through the kind of training. So what Don asked me 2 or 3 times, he said, would you teach this, James? I said, no, I'm not going to teach it because people like to hold on to their low self-esteem. People do not want to change, and I don't want to teach it. I enjoy feeling good. I'm on a natural high every day. And so he asked me about 3 times, and then he passed away maybe about 3 years ago. And so it came back to me that maybe I should take a look at this. And so I started experimenting with it. I'd invite a few people over, and most of them had a short attention span, and they really couldn't get into the program. And I said the difference between them and me was that I was desperate. I was looking for something, and a lot of folks aren't desperate in looking for something. I didn't want to learn how to live with depression or suicidal thoughts or just, you know, beating myself down mentally. I didn't want to live like that. Some people do, and that's fine. You know, I don't try to go out and change anybody, but I wanted to live a different life. I wanted to operate, you know, there's a saying that we only operate 10% of our potential. I wanted to go for that other 90%, but I had to have the kind of self-esteem that would get me there, and I didn't have it. You know, if you're at 10, you know, as low as I was, you're going to need at least about 90% to get you to where you can utilize your full potential. So it became a personal journey for me. And what came out of it was I decided to design my own program. I wrote my own book and then put together my own CDs, and all that's coming out this fall. And so I'm going to be stealing from myself from some of the stuff that I wrote that I want to share with your listeners because they may or may not know that they have it. You know, now I don't have that instrument to give to them. I went on to design my own instrument, but I do have some categories and things that I can share with them, and they can kind of just sit there and listen and decide whether or not they're someone that have low self-esteem. So I want to first begin with what is authentic self-esteem. And it's basically about, you know, it's something that operates on an unconscious level. It operates there, and it's about how warm and loving you feel about yourself. It's not an intellectual examination, but basically it's kind of turning inward and looking at your assets and your liabilities inside. And, again, do you like yourself? Measuring that, not comparing it with other people, but you asking you, do I like who I am? Am I happy with myself? Or am I sad with myself? And then self-esteem is authentic. You either believe that you are a good person or you believe that you're not. And people who have low self-esteem don't really believe that they're a good person, a nice person, or anybody could really like them. Now, what it is not And I have to admit, before I looked into this area, I thought a little bit. I thought I knew what it was. I thought I was buying things, you know. But it's not an image booster. That's what we see, people buying new cars and homes and jewelry. All of this to try to make themselves feel good. It may temporarily make them feel good, but there's not going to be any permanence for increasing the self-esteem. Money and self-esteem does not equal happiness. When you look at some of our Hollywood actors, some become, you know, drug addicts, experience unhappy marriages, and even commit suicide. In fact, they have what we call crippling self-esteem. Many of them believe material wealth will hide misery. And they're trying to, you know, buy happiness and sell an image to the public that they're, again, very happy. And we just found out from an actor that we just lost that from all the money, all the shows, all the glory that he obtained, that it still didn't make him happy. So why does this whole thing, self-esteem, really matter? And I guess probably the best way to say is that, and I'm going to put it in my words, if you don't get yourself together and increase your self-esteem, what you do is you end up passing it on to your children. Let me say that again. If you have low self-esteem, you will pass that on to your children. And then your children will pass it on to their children. They're going to believe this is how you operate in this kind of culture, in this kind of society. This is how you deal with a particular problem. So just to hit rock bottom with that, if you have it, your children will have it. I did a study a number of years ago where I looked at mothers' self-esteem, the mothers in the community self-esteem, and then I looked at the children's self-esteem. And in every case, if the mother had low self-esteem, her children had low self-esteem. So what I'm saying, folks, is that if you can do something about it, change it. But some of you are asking me, okay, let's get more specific here, Dr. Farmer. Give me some physical characteristics that I can be on the lookout for, so I can check out myself and check out my children. That's what I'm going to do. If you have one or more of these things, you probably have low self-esteem. Let me begin with the list I put together. Inability to make direct eye contact. You're going to come into contact with people that look down all the time. I mean, I used to, you know, if you were talking to me, I looked down at the floor. That is a signal that person may have low self-esteem. Sloppy appearance for a job interview. You know, if you got to go for a job interview, you need to dress up nice, like you want to get the job. If you go in there sloppy, you're not going to get it. I can share with you a time when I went in for a job interview, and the whole time I looked toward the floor and never looked at the interviewer. And he finally asked me, he says, "Why are you looking at the floor so much?" And I said, "Because I don't believe I'm going to get the job." And then he was such a nice guy. We went and we explored my belief that I would not get the job, and then I ended up getting the job. A person who habitually make excuses. There's another one, those who live below their potential. There's a book I have called You Are Your Own Worst Enemy, written by Dr. Christensen, I believe his name. And in that book, he talks about people who live below their potential. They start making adjustments, making excuses, and so forth. Those who play safe when he or she should move ahead. Then there are those who settle for less. Blaming others for their problems. Hiding from taking actions, arguing and complaining. If you're around somebody who constantly argues and complains, you need to take a look at this. If this person had authentic self-esteem or high self-esteem, there would not be a need to argue and complain all the time. And, of course, if a person is excessively silly. Now, I just went through some of the physical characteristics, personality traits. They might be timid and withdrawn. Some are depressed. Some are very hypersensitive and easily hurt by others, especially by words. folks who are emotional and overeaters. Let me say that one again. People who are emotional and overeaters may be suffering from low self-esteem. Boastful individuals, I'm this, I'm that, and let me tell you who I met, and people are low self-esteem people. The need to dominate a conversation, people who do constant name droppers, a lot of politicians do name droppers. If I tell you who I associate with, maybe you'll think highly of me too, that type of attitude. Compulsive smokers, I've seen people just smoke one cigarette after the other, especially when the research is out that says if you smoke cigarettes, it is linked to cancer, and people are still smoking. Rescuers, if you're one of those that tend to just rescue all your friends and so forth when they have problems, but your friends never take your advice, you never get better, but they just go from one problem to the other problem, and you're there to rescue them, you need to take a look at yourself. Over-religious people. There are some people so overly religious that you can't communicate with them. They may be suffering from low self-esteem. Impulsive perfectionists. They got to be perfect in every way. People who are desperate for attention and dress extremely sexy. Procrastinators, and those who are constantly straightening out people or I want to get it off my chest type of person. The last category I want to just briefly say something about is psychological characteristics. Those who feel uncomfortable all the time around people. Sometimes people just don't feel comfortable being around people, and they're not able to get in touch with that. I don't feel comfortable with this. I don't feel comfortable with that. I have met people who have titles, degrees, who don't feel comfortable around people. Those who constantly find fault. If you're around somebody and it seems like you can't do anything right and they're constantly finding fault, they may have a self-esteem problem. People who are hard on themselves, or people who are hungry for recognition and approval. People who live through their children. I'm going to make my two-year-old son, he's going to be a pilot someday. Or my two-year-old daughter's going to be a gymnast and she's going to go to the Olympics. And I'm going to start her at 2 years away. And they just literally live through that child. That child never has a chance to have a normal life. And, of course, those people who are jealous, distrustful, and dislike others. All of these are symptoms, you might say, that are riddled with low self-esteem that will handicap you. Now, you'll probably be asking me, wow, you know, I checked off at least two or three of those, you know. So does that mean I have low self-esteem? I don't know. I don't know. I'm just giving you some categories to kind of check off, to check out yourself. But the next question, which is the last question that you should be asking me is why, or yourself, asking yourself, why do I hold on to low self-esteem? If I have it, why do I hold on to it? Why haven't I let it go? And I want to respond to that before I go. And I'll give you some information on that. Sometimes people just fear changing and learning something new. They have such a fear of it that it's easier to them to just hold on than to let go. They are afraid of the unknown. Or people hold on to low self-esteem when they're emotionally fighting a situation that they don't want to accept. Part of my role when I work with people is, again, to teach them to let go and to try to get them to a point where they don't emotionally fight a reality. Why do people hold on to low self-esteem is what I'm talking about. Blaming self, others, and circumstances will keep you in low self-esteem. Possessing values, beliefs, and so forth. Do you realize, yes, we all have values, we have important values, but you can have a distorted value. For example, a good value would be I want to work for a living, go out, work 8 hours a day, do a good job, put 40 hours in a week. That's a good value. What would be the distorted value? I don't want to work. I think I'm going to take it from other people who do work. There's a lot of people in our culture who have distorted values and beliefs. And then there are those, the reason why they caught up in low self-esteem is because they have no purpose or mission. These are the people I call the drifters. They're just drifting around. I'm sure right now you can identify at least 5 people around you that are drifters and don't have any purpose in their life. Let me take a second and let you kind of think of a few folks. 5. Give me 5 people that you know around you that are drifters and have no purpose. You don't have to be a psychologist to figure that one out. You can name them off the top of your head. You know who they are. Check out your brother. Check out your cousins, your relatives, coworkers, friends. Bingo, you got it. You got your 5. Okay, then those who react first before thinking through a situation. They literally react first, make a fool out of themselves, and then try to analyze it. Playing safe rather than taking risk. Or there are those who have low self-esteem and hold on to it because of setbacks. It seems like one setback after the other just basically knocks them out the ballpark. You've heard that song, if it ain't one thing, it's another. That's kind of their main song that goes through their head. They're trying to get themselves braced in order to deal with the next setback, but psychologically they've been destroyed. And then it's those who've been driven by negative attitude, or you've surrounded yourself with toxic people who think like you do. They can't build you or give you positive because they think negative like you do, so it keeps you down. Or those who put things off for tomorrow, or seeing luck as an option. Just a few more. Then there's those who lack following through with their assignment, or they're mentally and emotionally dependent on others, and those who refuse to take charge of their life. All of these things can become a problem and hold you back from having authentic self-esteem. What I want to talk about next time is the road to building authentic self-esteem. You might say, well, boy, you really laid out, you know, all the different areas that you can be affected by low self-esteem, and I'm sure some of you are checking it out, you know, whether or not how you measure up. But I'm not going to just leave you like that. I want to also talk about how to build it. I mean the real deal, because I went through it a number of years ago. I suffered tremendously behind it, and I've spent a good portion of my life just figuring out how do you build self-esteem when the odds are against you. When you're dealing with human storms every day, when you got to get up out of bed, you got bills on you, and you don't have a job, how do you stay positive? And so we're going to talk about some of the things that I came up with. I'm not going to give you all of them. I'll give you a few strategies that you can immediately put together or put in use. And hopefully it'll make you feel better where you don't have to go out and look for some kind of substance to make you feel good. But you can get into your Bible. You can get into your own mind, your own head, and start building yourself. That's what I wanted to give you, some tools that you can immediately use to make you feel good about yourself. I stay on a natural high every day. I don't need any drugs. Don't need a booster. I just get up, no matter what kind of storm or human storm is going on around me, I make sure I'm stabilized, and then I deal with it as it comes. So, thank you for listening. I'm still waiting to hear from some folks on email me, james.farmer@att.net. email me, let me know, you know, what you think of some of the things I'm saying, or let me know if you've tried some of the tools and whether you found them successful or not successful. I'm open to hearing what you want to say. So I will see you next week on the Tanisha Show. And goodbye, everybody.
Okay, well, thank you again, Dr. Farmer, for being on the show. You said some great things, and I hope you listeners had your pen and paper available. If you didn't, you can email Dr. Farmer at james.farmer@acc.net. Like I said, you can also have, you know, a private counseling session or just be able to speak to Dr. Farmer. Just leave your contact information with him, and he will get back with you. And, you know, be able to discuss some things with you. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we'll get ready to have our, so we'll be right back with you.
Love to make my mind. for mine. Girl, it's alright. You have to go, but before you do, I think that you should know. You don't have to change. You can say the same. Girl, I love you just the way you are. Finding a different way. You don't need a thing. Girl, I love you just the way you are. Baby, just the way you are. My soul, spirit, got it. Heart, team, body, banging. I'm just saying, girl, I'm going all in. You are what I've been missing. When you speak, I will listen to all you have to say. Baby, I'm free right now. You have a time. Love to make my mark on such a beautiful mind. Girl, it's alright if you have to go. But before you do, I think that you should know. You don't have to change. You can say the same. Girl, I love you just the way you are. Finding a happy way. You don't need a thing. Girl, I love you just the way you are. Baby, just the way you are. What more do I have to say? Girl, you're perfect in every way. And I'm gonna be there for you whenever you need. Don't worry, baby, you don't have to change. Don't
you
need
don't
it.
Have to change.
Don't change.
You can stay the same.
Stay the same.
Girl, I love you just the way you are.
Every little thing about
finding
you.
Finding a
feel like this.
Feel like this.
I I went from being broke to sleeping in Versace shirts.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is my story. Money, cars, bad hoes. This is my story.
And I'm sticking to it. 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 And I'm sticking to it.
Yeah.
And I'm sticking to it.
Then
I'm sticking to it.
Came from humble beginnings. Now I'm cocky with my spending. They say life is just a game. And I thank God that I'm winning. Models roll my endo. I beat the pussy, Django. Them niggas talking money. I got more digits than my gate code. To make a pole disappear like hocus pocus. You ain't never gonna find another nigga this focused. I got every block, every street corner sold up. Whatever club represent my city sold up. I own the game, coach slash player shown up. Okay, haters so fitted, never showed up. Yeah,
this is my story.
Yeah, I'm from that Chattown dirt. I went from being broke to sleeping in Versace shirt.
Yeah, this is my story.
Money, cars, bad hoes. This is my story.
And I'm sticking to it.
To it. Hey, I've been a victim to it. Your conversation is sanitation. Ain't no hesitating when I'm finna do it. I stick it in. Switch it up and try to hit a friend. Live it up and count my dividends. Whoa, like cinnamon. Whoa, big face Benjamin. If you looked at me like you ain't nothing but a star. I looked at her like this ain't nothing but a car. If you ride with them, you ain't going that far. But if you ride with me, crib so big, we can play hide and seek. You can confide in me, ride me like I ride the beat. Pilot seat, I need a co-pilot. Kiss the ass in both mouths. Him talking both lips. What you know about boat trips? Drop a ass in the chocolate factory. Yeah, we did them 12 plays. And you know who you is, girl. We've been fucking since the 12th grade. Gotcha, gotcha.
This is my story.
Yeah, I'm from that Chattown dirt. I went from being broke to sleeping in Versace shirt.
This is my story.
Money, cars, bad hoes. This is my story.
And I'm sticking to it. 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 And I'm sticking to it.
Pull up to the club at about 3. I'm killing it. Guilty, no plea. I'm leaving out at 6 with a dime piece. By 9 o'clock, we on round 3. I speak of rain, they say I'm crazy like they didn't know. See, I'm not crazy, but my talent, man, got bipolar. Say she a church girl, but man, she blowing holy smoke. Showed her the Jesus speech, now she got the Holy Ghost. They asked him in an interview, why do he love these girls? The only thing he had to say was, motherfuck the world.
This is my story.
Yeah, I'm from that Chattown dirt. I went from being broke to sleeping in Versace shirt.
This is my story.
Money, cars, bad hoes. This is my story.
And I'm sticking to it. And I'm sticking to it.
Thank you. what you need.
What you gotta do to keep that woman
on my
heart, to keep that woman open.
What you want,
what you want
is what you need, man.
Yeah. What you gotta do to keep that woman on my heart, to keep that woman open.
Ooh. I have to crush on a phone call. No, it's not. Too interrupting, y'all. The pureness and innocence. Love was so rich and fast. People broken heart and sadness feelings. When it was the thing to do, on the far bitch caught you. When she was waving with palms down and passing with earrings, standing at the bus stop, stuck in on life. And a runaway type of girl.
Dearly beloved, if this love only exists in my dreams, don't wake me up.
Too much light in this window, don't wake me up. Only coffee, no sugar, inside my cup. If I wake and you're here still, give me a kiss. I was thinking you're dreaming about to left. Don't wake me up. Don't wake me up. Don't wake me up. Don't wake me up. Don't wake me. Don't wake me up, 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 up. Don't wake me up, 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 up. Don't wake me up. Don't wake me. Don't wake me.
Yeah. I feel your aura, jump out at the remote, hitting my flagging saucer. I'll make you call me daddy, even though you ain't my daughter. Maybe I ain't talking books when I said that I can take you across the border. I'm young and free, I'm London G, I'm tongue in cheek, so maybe give me some tongue and cheek. Slow and steady for me, go on like a teddy for me, and say the word soon as you're ready for me.
I'm ready for yeah. Hit them all, push it up. Soak into your sweater. Say you'll be here soon. Sooner the better. No options for you saying no. I run this game. Just play a role. Follow my lead. What you waiting for? Thought it over and decided tonight is your night.
Nothing on, I strut around, I do it big, I shut it down. I wonder if you'll be able to handle me. Mental pictures, no cameras, please. Yeah, I hear you talking, don't know who you're trying to flatter. Got my mind made. On a wine glass, cameras in my mind flash. Black lingerie, white diamonds, what a contrast. I know you get impatient as the time pass. You say you want it fast, define fast. Cause I could speed it up and make it last. And I could audition for this, and I could be part of the cast. And I could produce for your future, I could co-direct your past. And make damn sure that you never forget it. Committed, I'm ready, I'm with it. Still here like a statue. Pink champagne, green ink in your tattoos. You say you got baggage, well I'm packed too. Plus I got a sex pistol pointed right at you. Bang, baddest woman ever and the hardest out. Proven over and over again, that's why I'm hard to doubt. Plus I'm young money to the death, I took the Carter route. I'm more than ready too, hoping something that you thought about.
R.I.P. to the girl you used to see. Her days are over.
Much as you blame yourself, you can't be blamed for the way that you feel. Had no example of a love that would feel. even remotely real. How can you understand something that you never had? Oh, baby, if you let me, I can help you out with all of that. Girl, let me love you.
Down. I'm out of jail, nigga, what you gotta say now? Nigga, thinking only gonna end. OG still carrying me, nigga, I run this. Spread the rumors, kick all your little dumb shit. Tell lies, laugh about the time that I'm gon' get. Make you feel better, picture me over and done with. Pump, bitch, come with all the gossip you can come with. Small things to a giant, I can overcome this. Jail, I done done this, rap I'm just having fun with. I could be a local joker, never had one hit. Nigga, new finish alone to get me dumb rich. Why these rappers selling records getting pennies? If real hustlers say any, I'ma get plenty. If God with me, who can be against me? Sucker can't make me suffer, just make me suffer. Motivation, niggas thinking only gonna inspire. Motivation, all you hating is fuel to my fire. Motivation, niggas tying on the crown, so just motivation. Hey, but I ain't slowing down, I ain't tired. Motivation, yeah, nigga, don't stop my show. Motivation, you ain't know I don't stop, I grow. Motivation, sucker niggas can't make me suffer, just make me stronger and make me strong. Motivation.
Gotta get on your job, tell them. Haters, get on your job, nigga. Motivation. Nigga, get on your job, tell them. Haters, get on your job, nigga. Motivation. Haters, better get on your job, tell them. Haters, get on your job, nigga. Motivation. Suck a nigga, get on your job, if you hate, get on your job, nigga.
Motivation. Niggas thinking only gonna inspire.
Motivation.
All you hating is fuel to my fire.
Motivation.
Niggas flying on the crown, so just motivation. Hey, but I ain't slowing down, I ain't tired.
Motivation.
Yeah, nigga, don't stop my show.
Motivation.
You ain't know I don't stop, I grow.
Motivation.
Suck a niggas can't make me stop.
Voice Radio. Your choice, your voice radio. You can log in at www.blogtalkradio.com/Faces of Success Radio or call in and listen to speak to our special guest at 718-664-6324. For your special appearance on our show, call 1-866-458-5523, extension 101. Be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Faces of Success Radio. Your choice, your voice radio.
Well, welcome back to TJ's R&B Music Lounge. I'm your host, TJ, and like I promised you guys, we always have an amazing show. On this segment of our show, we're going to get ready to hear some amazing music. We also have, you know, exclusive interviews. We have an exclusive interview with none other than Freddie Jackson. So that's going to be coming up. And so I wanted to just talk to you guys about finding the right mate. A lot of times we look at things and we're kind of just sitting there and we're like, you know, thinking about different relationships and how we would change things. But I just want to encourage you guys to just be motivated to know that there's somebody out there for everyone. And so you were uniquely created to do one thing, which was to be yourself. And so I just want you guys just to make sure that you are living your life on purpose. And so, like I said, we're going to be getting ready to be joined by our special guest. And so, in the meantime, I'm going to talk to you guys about something that we talked about earlier in the show. We had Dr. Farmer on this. Welcome back to TJ's R&B Music Lounge. I'm your host, Tanisha, and I am excited that you guys decided to tune in for the rest of our show. On this part of the show, we always bring our exclusive Freddie Jackson, no other but him. And tonight he's going to be us. Okay. Well, how are you doing, Mr. Jackson?
I'm doing fine. Just coming in from Atlanta, a little dry, but we're doing fine.
Okay. Well, glad to have you on the show. I know you have a great, amazing new project, which is Love and Satisfaction. So I wanted you to go ahead and tell the listeners where they can find you as well as your music.
All right. Well, I am Freddie Jackson. This is Freddie Jackson, however we want to say it, the radio. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Freddie Jackson. I am straight from New York City, just comes down in from Atlanta into my beautiful, smelly town of Augusta. I've been here quite a few times. As I told my manager, this is about my seventh run through Augusta, the cobblestone streets downtown and the whole nine yards. So I'm really happy to be here. I've got a brand new single, a little different from Freddie Jackson, but it's full of love and satisfaction. And that's the name of the new single. And we're completing a CD, you know, but we wanted to work this out on you first. It's something new, new breath of air for me, and I'm happy about it. And next year we'll kick off a tour, full band, singers, the whole nine yards, as if the opening acts, and give this industry a little love and satisfaction. But I've been very busy and getting ready to find some leading ladies, audition some leading ladies for a video for the Love and Satisfaction. So if there's a bunch of beautiful women out there, come to the show tomorrow. You know, I'll be co-hosting the Family Affair tomorrow and probably singing a couple of songs, a little bit of my new one, but I want to come back and really give you the production of that song. But we're going to give you just a little bit of tasty love tomorrow, and I'm excited about being here once again. The last time I was here in Augusta, I just had such a wonderful time. The nightlife was off the hook, and I just love the Southern hospitality. So we're glad to be here, and once again, I got a new record out, Love and Satisfaction. Love and Satisfaction. It's a beautiful melody. It's not a lot of a song, but I find that if you give a beautiful melody and a storyline behind it, it will stick like you and my lady has stuck with me for 30 years, and I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, I'm just glad that you're able to share your new project with us. We've been, you know, watching you and listening to everything that you've been doing. And I wanted to ask a few questions. My first question is, when did you know that you had a passion for music?
Oh, God, I think it was right out of the womb. my mother was singing in the church choir, and 14 hours later, Freddie Jackson was born. And so my mother just passed a few years ago, but we used to laugh that you better have been able to sing, stop me from getting ready to sing my solo in church. So I think that spiritual connection to my mother just resounded in me all of my life. And then I grew up seven blocks from the Apollo Theater in Harlem, in which I still live in Harlem, and now I have a condominium 10 blocks away from the Apollo Theater. And I used to sit there for all three shows and watch people like Otis Redding, and I saw the original Jackson 5 with the original noses. I saw the original Jackson 5 and, oh, God, the list of Patti LaBelle and the Drew Bell, now LaBelle, now Patti LaBelle. So I've had the greatest teachers sit in front of me to teach me. And so the passion for music was either going to be in gospel, although I still sing in church. Every time I go to church, I got to sing in church, and that's for free. I can't tell the church that I need a paycheck. The minister does not understand it. But I love singing in church, but my passion, you know, same background for Harry Belafonte, my first road trip, and then Angela Bofill. I sang background for Glenn Jones on his hit record, Show Me. I sang background on Juicy Fruit, Glenn Toomey, Evelyn King. My history is background singing was vast, very vast. And so I decided to try my own hand at solo work. And I had a manager who put me in the studio, and I recorded the Rockman Tonight album and went platinum and double platinum. And Atlanta was the city that enabled my first album to go gold, which was 500,000 copies. It was because of the Atlanta love that my first album was able to go gold. So I have a deep passion for Atlanta.
Okay. And my next question would be, who is Freddie Jackson, besides the artist, besides the singer, performer, who can we, the listeners, know Freddie Jackson is?
Well, I've been in this business now for 30 years. I still hold the same compassion. It's the music and the love of my fans that really drive me at this point, because if you expect anything else, you're really kind of out of your mind. But I'm grateful for the 11 number one records and multitudes of top 20, 10, and 5 records that I've had in my career, double platinum, triple platinum albums. If we all count them all up, Freddie Jackson's got 2 million of records sold. And the love of course, radio that continuously plays Freddie Jackson, old and new. Freddie Jackson is a very compassionate man. I'm an honest man. I'm a daring man. I like spontaneity. I like just going forward and doing whatever it is that I'm doing that even entails falling in love. I used to like to take it nice and slow on my own records, but I'm getting older, so I'm trying to hurry up with that. But I'm a gentleman. I've been groomed to be a gentleman. I was groomed back in the day when young men were called master, and I was groomed to be that, and I am still yet that gentleman. And I'm a very sensitive guy, not as sensitive as Michael Jackson was, but I'm sensitive, and I'm a good listener, and I hear well. So that's who Freddie Jackson, and I cook excellently. So I keep a lot of my friendships because I'm very good in the kitchen, and we are working on a cookbook, which will be entitled 30 Days to Romance. 30 of my songs I'm putting recipes to, and those recipes will help to keep people together, just as my career has been kept together for 30 years.
Okay, well, that's amazing. And I would say, who was your music inspiration and why?
Aretha Franklin, because she's a true singer. I know she did a lot of R&B and secular and crossover pop. That gospel was always came oozing out. And Aretha never faltered at being her. And that's what still makes Aretha who she is. She never tried to say, I'm going to be a pop star. A pop just discovered her and fell in love with her. So Aretha Franklin, and then I was an adamant fan of Shirley Caesar, and I still am. I had the pleasure of being with her at Dr. Maya Angelou's funeral in North Carolina, and a few times I've been in the presence of Miss Shirley Caesar, and I had the chance to tell her how much she influenced me. No charge to me, the 9 months she carried me, no charge. Song that I still hold very close to my heart by Shirley Caesar and James Cleveland. I came from church, so a lot of those guys were James Cleveland, Evan Hoffman singers, were two influences on my life. And then I was madly influenced by Otis Redding when I saw him perform at the Apollo Theater. And then as I got a little older, a little sassier, Marvin Gaye was just all that in a bag of chips. I just thought he was smooth and elegant and had a grit on top of it. So I've had a few great influences in my life.
Okay. And speaking about I wanted to ask, was there any time in your life where you really, really had to seek and consult God on your own and really just seek him for a particular situation?
I seek God every single day for strength. And all situations are particular for me. I have a friend of 40 years who just went on a cruise to Greece, and his last 2 days he decided to get off and take a water excursion. And in doing that, after the excursion, they were taking him back to the ship, and he had an asthma attack. So they were supposed to be shipping him back last week. His body won't be back. Well, didn't get back until I think it was Wednesday or so. So I take every day serious. I ask God to keep me in mind, in good mind and soul and body, in health. I always call on God because man will fail you. Flesh will fail you. Your best of friends and family will turn their back on you. But something about the love of God never fails you and never gives up on you. And so when someone decides that they don't want to hear a Freddie Jackson record again, or if someone decides that they don't want to be bothered with Freddie Jackson, I've got something so much greater to look forward to, and that's being welcomed into my kingdom of heaven. And that day, I look forward to.
Okay. Well, I asked you that question because a lot of times the way that the world is now is if you're in the Christian music industry, they feel you should just be hot or cold. You can't eat both. And in the secular industry, I feel like they, you know, allow you to basically, if you're doing Christian music or R&B music, they embrace it. And so a lot of our listeners out there are, you know, at the point where they may be going through something. And so to know that Freddie Jackson has a, you know, a relationship with God and that you consult God and that it's okay, I think that makes a big message.
Well, I think that, first of all, you should know that the God lives inside of you, no matter what you should decide to call him. See, the church lives within inside of you. And God will always point you in the direction that he has already designed for you. So you can holler, scream, and you can talk about this and talk about that, but man can't tell you what direction to take your life in and what you do. Yes, I'm singing secular music, but my love of God is stronger than what I feel about secular music. So if, in fact, at any point in time I feel that God is directing me in another direction, taking me in another direction, I am willing to listen and to obey and to go in that direction. But I believe that right now he knows that I honor what he has given me, and that what
yes.
he has given me is also a ministry, because a lot of people don't know the power of love. A lot of people don't know what it is to truly be in love with someone, or to know how to tell somebody that you love them. And sometimes it may not always come in a Christian song. I had a minister who said, I've got to be honest with you. My wife and I, we had our 30th anniversary, and we didn't go home and play Yolanda Adams. We played Frankie Beverly and Maze. Joy and Pain, he said, because that's what we've gone through. So you can't hide from God, because he's always there. But you've got to know in anything, moderation. But you take a little bit of this and you take a little bit of that, and when you put it all in one pot, then you're being honest with yourself, because at the end of the day, God knows your heart. I don't want to be phony and be singing gospel and doing something that is not of gospel in my life. So I am doing what I think that God has given me, and he has given me a pure, key, natural, one God-given talent to sing. But he has not yet told me that I should stop doing what I'm doing. And the day that he points me in that direction, until then, I believe that he's satisfied with the way, with the ministry of love that I am transcending. And that's where love and satisfaction comes from, because I have to love myself in order to be able to satisfy anybody else in the world.
I think that was well said. And so I wanted you to go ahead and tell us about Love and Satisfaction, and then we'll go ahead and hear that song.
Oh, that would be lovely if you play that song about five times for me tonight. Well, Love and Satisfaction, of course, wonderful group of guys from Atlanta. I got a little Atlanta blood on this single. Young guy. That's why it's sounding so fresh. I'm getting responses like from one radio station. A guy emailed him and said, some young guy is trying to sound like Freddie Jackson. Well, I took it as a compliment. I said, wow, then that's a plus, because I don't want to start sounding like I'm so old and tired and nobody would be, oh, that's just that old Freddie Jackson. But these guys said, we want to produce Freddie Jackson, but we want to see what else Freddie Jackson has and where he can fit into the 21st century. We are living in a day and time now of cell phones and texting and iPads and smartphones. Well, you just can't be so complacent to say, well, I just want to still have a mobile. I just want to have a home phone. We all have these little gadgets. And so that means the world has moved forward. And so if I don't try to move forward but still yet give you Freddie Jackson, then I'll be a fool. And so I decided they wanted to produce me, and so I took direction. And what we're listening to is a beautiful love song with a melody, and I took direction from some young guys, and I got finished just like, man, you ain't never going nowhere, because you know how to get these things done. I can do it for old time's sake, or I can do it for right now. And right now I'm doing it for right now.
Have okay. Well, if you can go ahead and introduce that song, that would be great.
Well, Augusta and everybody else that may be listening, this is my brand new baby. Yes, it's my baby. It's called Love and Satisfaction, and I hope you find some listening to it. That is Love and Satisfaction. Let's keep it clean.
Oh, I don't wanna go.
TJ's R&B Music Lounge. I'm your host, Tanisha. Get here, Love and Satisfaction by Freddie Jackson. And I'm just amazed at the interview that we had with him. He's an amazing, phenomenal artist, and I am just glad and honored to be able to had him on the show for you guys. We're going to go ahead and we're going to end the show on today, but before we always end our show, I always like to give you guys some love, encouragement, and motivation. So I'm not sure where you are in your life, but I just want you guys to know that you are right where you're supposed to be. It's not by accident that you were sitting here hearing the show. This show is to uplift, encourage, and motivate you. And so I just want you guys to just forget about what happened earlier and just embrace right where you are right now. We have a chance right now to change things. So whatever decisions that you're needing to make in your life, just go ahead and try to make the best ones, because every decision has an action and a consequence for every action. So just make sure that whatever you decide to do, that you're thinking about your future. We can rewrite our past by making a better future. So thank you again for tuning in to TJ's R&B Music Lounge. Be blessed.